Hallelujah. His promise still stands. Amen. Brother Josh Newton got that answer correct from the parable of the wheat and tares. When did the enemy come and sow the tares? It was while men slept. Well, on the phone with us, we have Evangelist Waleed, no stranger to the broadcast. Brother Waleed, how are you doing, my dear friend?
I'm doing fantastic. Thank you, Aaron. How are you today?
I'm doing well. I missed the calendar until this morning. I didn't see that you were coming on there. It's on there, and I just missed it. I have no idea. Hannah got you scheduled, and I got really happy when I saw that it was you, Brother Waleed. So,
thank you, Aaron. It's always a pleasure, man. I snuck in the back door on you.
Well, it was a very good sneak. And if you're ever down this way again, I'd love for you to come by and see us and hang out with us. And I don't know. I know you was at Miss Renee's last year, and we got to meet in person. And since then, we've had on a couple of other times. But we need to get you back down this way in this area sometime soon.
You just let me know, man. I'd be honored to come down anytime, man.
So how's life going? I mean, staying busy, ministry going well?
Yeah, it is. It's always a humbling thing, you know, waiting on the Lord. For us, for evangelists, you know, so many times we are, you know, we're not pastors, so we don't have a home church. Well, I have a home church, and I'm part of an apostolic team, so I'm very involved when I'm not traveling in the local church, you know, in the outreaches here in the eldership team. But we wait for invitations. You know, we don't invite ourselves to places, or I don't believe we should be. But in the interim, though, what I've been doing, you know, if I'm not at a conference preaching or doing any leadership training or preaching at churches, I've really been expanding, working on expanding the social media outreach, the YouTube platform and the Instagram platform, and focusing on reaching the next generation and those that are out there who connect through social media, throwing that bigger net out there, you know, and using it to teach evangelism and to really share some encouraging words. I think in a day and an hour where people are looking for hope more than ever. So,
yeah,
that's been going well. So I'm learning a lot. It's starting to get a good groundwork laid for that, and it's heading in the right direction as of now. So I'm very grateful for that. It's a lot of work, but it's certainly worth it.
Now,
I'm thankful.
Last time you were on, you had said something about going back to school. Is that still where you're working at too?
I did. I actually transitioned back. I went back to Moody Bible, so I'm just re-enrolling back in the fall semester.
Are you doing online, or are you actually in
class?
Yeah,
mostly online. One of the things I liked about that seminary is that you can actually, there's pure online platforms where they're asynchronous, where you can, you know, do it at your time, and but they have something where, which I've done before at some other Bible colleges, seminaries, is where you can dial into the class as it's actually going on.
Yeah,
through video. So it's almost like you're participating in the class from afar, and that works. That sometimes works for me, and sometimes it doesn't. If I'm overseas traveling, or if I'm down in Kentucky preaching, and I still have a class, you know.
Yeah, you still.
So I need the most flexible ones if I'm going to do it. And I'm not in a hurry. It's just more of a hobby for me. It's not anything I feel pressured to do or have to do. You know, just more personal development and enjoyment. More of a hobby for me, you know.
Yeah. So what has the Lord really been laying on your heart lately, the word of the Lord for the hour in your life, and kind of what he's been burning you with?
Yeah, that's always can be a loaded question for a preacher. But honestly, when I look at a lot of where we're at as a nation right now, with the things going on, I'm really burdened. I mean, with a heavy heavy. You hear the word revival so much, and I don't think you hear enough about revive us. You know, and I think it's a tricky thing if we're not careful. Peter talks about we have a more sure word of prophecy. You know, I love that. But when the Apostle Peter himself, he said, we were on the Mount of Transfiguration. We beheld him with our own eyes. We held him with our hands. We saw with our own eyes. You know, John the Baptist, you know, he said it was, and Moses, you know, and his response, Lord, shall we build a monument here? You know, this is super cool. We got to do something religious about this. But he says, you know, we have a more sure word, a prophecy, and the concern I have is there's so much. I'm not opposed to the prophetic. I'm not opposed to even some prophets today, though I think they're very rare, and it's not a lot of what we do see in here. And there's so many people who got a word for everything today.
Come on.
They got a word for what brand of green beans you should buy in the store, man. So it's where the scripture, I think if we're not going to get anchored in the word right now the way we need to be, I just see, which is also what the Bible says, you know, many will be giving heed, you know, in the last days, giving heed to seducing spirits. You know, and seducing spirits are going to take you in another direction. And it says in doctrines of demons. So it indicates there's actually demons behind these heretical and false teachings. We can pick on the prosperity gospel. That's always an easy one. You know, but there's other things happening, you know. When I think of Christian nationalism, and I know this may be controversial for your audience, and I'm not trying to be, but you asked me what's the burden on my heart. I really see people, so many Christians, getting caught up in the restoration of America and the greatness of our country. And it is hard to see a great country. And I'm thankful, you know, like I said, my father immigrated here in 1956 on a boat legally. And it's given us an amazing opportunity into the next generation. My grandfather was a pastor, evangelist, in Palestine, in Israel, and my dad came here in 1956 to New York City on the Queen Elizabeth with $50. So we loved the country. My dad kissed the ground when he came to America, and to see a great nation like this, you know, go in a direction that has been for some time, the immorality that's being promoted, even legislated in some ways, is a sad thing. And the Bible says, you know, that because of these injustices in these last days, the love of many will grow cold, you know, because iniquity shall abound, the love of many will grow cold.
Mm-hmm.
And to me, one of the ways I see that is the injustices and these iniquities are so evil and so not right that many of us are rising up to fix those injustices. And I'm not saying that's wrong, but it's a fine line between the call of God. God's called us to the kingdom as believers. What the call of God as for the church of Jesus Christ and what the bride of Jesus is mandated to be and to look like. In this day and hour of wickedness, when iniquity will abound and the perilous times shall come, it says in Timothy, and we're in those days, the last of the last days, if you want to use that terminology, and so many are being seduced. The Bible actually doesn't give an indication of a last day great revival before the coming of the Lord, the rapture, the catching away of the church, the coming of the Lord. It talks about a great apostasy, a falling away. And I think one of those falling away, it doesn't mean necessarily people depart physically from church, but they depart from the Lord, like the rebuke that's the Holy Spirit that Christ gave to the different churches in Revelation. And notice the rebuke was given to the churches, to different churches, the church at Ephesus and Sardis, the seven different churches, and they were given to the leaders, to the pastors, the shepherds of those churches. So they had different visions, but they were one church, right? But they were getting different rebukes from God for different reasons. And I think today that apostasy is being seen in some of our distraction to fix these injustices. Because, I mean, the zeal I see in so many Christians, even now, man, I mean, that previous President Trump just almost getting killed, it's like, it's even like a deeper call, you know, and certainly wrong in every way. And I'm thankful he didn't die, and I'm sad that others did, you know, and it's a great, great failure of security at every level. But I see that apostasy coming in that way, in a big way here in America. As I look around, as I hear the different voices out there, and I hear, you know, we have to fix this, we have to fix that. Well, in the interim, I don't see them building the kingdom. I don't see them. I see them in departing from the church, or the church starts becoming a completely a political entity. And that's the message. So we become unified, not for the sake of the gospel, not for the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ, and the call of God on the church to be holy as he's holy. Yes, it's a good thing, but not all good is necessarily from God, you know. We have to be careful. The tree of the knowledge of good and evil. So that's a little bit of overview. I hope it's coming out okay, the way I'm trying to express my heart. I'm not being critical. I'm actually burdened with that. And I have a concern, but there's so many voices, you know, and I got this vision, and I got that vision, and this is trending on social media, this word, and I'll have some young ministers, they'll send me clips, what do you think about this? You know, I'm like, listen, if you don't measure every single word that people have against the word of God, the word of God, what's going to be your safety moving forward? How are you going to guard your own heart, your own doctrine, the flock you're leading, your wife, your children, your family, if you keep looking for words? You know, I had this vision that President Trump went through this, and there was a shooting, and his eardrum was damaged, and then I saw this great fall in America. And what's the Bible say about the last days? What's the Bible teach? We already have a more sure word of prophecy. Why do I need another word? And if there is any word that the Holy Spirit has given, it's only going to confirm the more sure word. It's not going to contradict in any way.
Yeah.
I know who the Antichrist is. I know when Jesus is returning. This is nothing new. It's been around. There's something like where Christians can be really gullible and attracted almost to the mystical, you know, in some ways. And it's almost like we're suckers for it if we're not careful, you know what I mean? And I think it's attributed to just not knowing God the way we should in these last days, getting anchored in Christ and in his word. And I think if we're not careful, we're gonna get tossed with every wind of doctrine and to and fro, the scripture says. So that's a little bit of what's on my heart, man.
Well, let me ask you this. So when you're talking about the prophetic words and you're talking about those things that are coming out, it seemingly looks like in the New Testament there was accountability for those who had the prophetic gift. And it definitely in the Old Testament we know there was accountability, because like Elijah and Elisha, two of the most famous prophets, they traveled with the school of prophet, and there was an accountability to each other. Like they didn't flippantly just go out and say something. There was, you know, there was a lot of accountability. So I think a lot of these words that you're talking about go away if we don't have parking lot prophets that are out there just by themselves with no accountability, with no pastor, with no covering, with no house to be connected to. How do we reverse this trend a little bit and get the fivefold working together and not make because for me, the evangelist and the pastor is probably one of the most strained relationships there is in the fivefold. But then you got the prophets that can just run out there and do everything. And you got the apostles who just want to be everything. And then you got these teachers that are just, I don't even know what they're doing. So, where all these things are colliding apart from it, we need them to collide together and be one mind so we can build the body. How do we start making these steps forward? I know it's a loaded question, but I think it's a real one the church has to answer.
No, it's a really good question, and I'm sure we could have several discussions. What I'm doing right now is I'm talking. I'm pulling up Ephesians chapter 4.
Mm-hmm.
Because in Ephesians 4, the Bible really teaches us the gifts of Christ that are given to the church. You know, there's the gift of God to the world, which I believe was Jesus. God so loved the world, He gave. And then these are gifts of Christ in Ephesians 4 that are given to the church. And it's, and He gave some to be what? It says apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. And then it gives us the motive to equip the saints for the work of the ministry to build up the body of Christ until we all reach the unity of the faith in the knowledge of the Son of God as we mature. So the gifts, these gifts of Christ, apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers, what you and me might refer to as fivefold ministry, right,
mm-hmm.
are given for one purpose, to bring the church, the body of Christ, into unity, maturation, in stature. Then we have the gifts of the Spirit given to the individuals in Corinthians 12 and 14. But here, I don't think apostles, prophets, evangelists, that any of these gifts should function outside of the local church. God's ordained these that they're tied into the local church. So you really don't see a biblical position for parachurch organizations, though they exist and they do a lot of good. That's a separate subject, but I think here there's nowhere where you see where certainly evangelists like myself, I am part of the local church. I'm sent out from a apostolic team and, uh-huh. and eldership in the local church, which is more rare because evangelists are typically going to have a board, an organization, and et cetera, and they're not necessarily tied into a local church, which I don't think is obviously the biblically the best or the purest. And I think the same for the prophet. I think one of the distinctions that's lacking is the distinction between the Old Testament role of a prophet and the New Testament role of a prophet.
Agreed.
Yeah, because today so many who believe they might have the prophetic, and number one, prophesying and the gift of the Spirit doesn't mean you're a prophet neither. Doesn't qualify you to be a prophet if the Spirit of God used you to give a prophecy. So, number one, we have to understand that fundamentally. Number two, the New Testament prophet is not functioning in the Old Testament role of a prophet. We're not Moses. Moses was called in for a specific purpose and specific task. And these prophets were speaking to nations. I think a modern-day prophet in our time would have been someone like David Wilkerson. Mm. I thought Wilkerson functioned in the office of a New Testament prophet. He was an evangelist also, but I would say he was a true prophetic voice to America especially. You know, the how do you get them connected? I mean, there's ministries and organizations doing schools of prophets today. You know, basically how to be a prophet in 90 days, or take a 2-week seminar and you're a prophet, or an apostle. And my thing is, who told you? Who told you you're an apostle? Who told you you're a prophet?
Yeah.
You're only an apostle to those who recognize that you are to them in their life, to those who submit to that, to those who see that in your life. I mean, any authority we have is given by God, but it's recognized by those we're serving, right?
Yeah. I mean, if you're not fathering anybody and you're not releasing and sending anybody, you probably should hold off on the apostle card for a few weeks.
Right. you're right. And I used to see people back in the days, you know, graduating from Rhema or different places. Not that I'm not calling one out. I'm just making the point. They'd have little business cards like you're saying, and I'm apostle so-and-so.
What are you leading?
You just graduated 2 years of Bible college. I'm like, who told you that? Where are you getting this from?
Yeah, man.
You know?
That's good. I mean, these are things the body of Christ has to be talking about, because even for the prophet, what you were saying, I think is right on, because is it like, if you look at the Old Testament prophets, some of them, like Daniel and them, they did foresee some stuff, absolutely. But a lot of what Ezekiel and Elijah and them were doing was not this mystical foresight. It was actually a call to repentance. It was the Lord sent them to cry aloud in weeping and truth and call cities to repentance.
That's it, man. And then Wendy, and you talked about accountability in the Old Testament. You were very, if you said you were a prophet and you spoke for God,
you better not miss it.
Yeah, you were getting rocked to sleep,
mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah.
So I'd say that's pretty accountable.
Yeah. I would be hesitant to put the saith the Lord on something at that point. And so, I mean, but prophetic voice is very important and pivotal to the church. But I do think we have to quit defining it with our terms and start seeing what the Scripture instructs us. What is a pastor? What is an evangelist? What is an elder? What's a deacon? What's an apostolic leader? What is, like, we was talking about this earlier with just spiritual warfare. Just how much is it Hollywood telling us what to believe or Greek mythology, and how much is it Scripture? And the church has to get back to Scripture.
And that's it, because any other voice, there's all kinds of voices that would want to speak to the mind of a believer. I mean, well, I don't remember who said it, but Satan trembles when the weakest of Christians go down to their knees to pray.
Yeah.
You know, and prayer is a good example, because it's probably one of the most talked about topics in least practice. When you get a person who set their affection on God and they're open to Word and they'll get on their knees in prayer, I do believe we need that more than anything. I agree with you, Aaron. This is a time to pray, man, more than we ever prayed. And this is a time to know our Bible more than we ever have.
Yeah.
And I think those two things alone will preserve us. You know, not that God's keeping power will keep us and keep us in His hand for sure. But our part is to stay small in our own eyes, you know. When we come to the Lord and know that I can't do this apart from you, apart from your grace. I got nothing, man, but I got you, so therefore I have everything. It's not us who's going to keep anything. It's God who will keep us, and I don't care what comes our way. And I believe there's hard times, Trump or no Trump. I believe where we're at as a nation, listen, we don't see America in biblical prophecy. Now, you can talk about the eagle all you want, and it's going to fly again, and I hear preachers talking about, we don't see it in biblical prophecy. And what's that mean? I don't know.
Yeah.
But there's some hard times coming. The Bible has prophesied hard times for believers. Yes, I personally believe in the rapture and the catching away, but we're not promised that everything's going to be hunky-dory until that time. The
Yeah.
The Bible says all those who live godly in Christ are going to suffer persecution. And to equate the presence of God with ease of living, you know, there is an American interpretation of Christianity that we have to be careful of, is what I'm saying. We're interpreting the scripture through our culture rather than through the culture of the Word of God.
Yeah.
And as long as we keep doing that, we're going to keep missing the mark in a lot of areas.
This is one of the things, and I tend to agree with you on the America. I don't think you can have the United States of America and the Antichrist regime at the same time, because I think America's too influential in the world. But I know we only got like 2 minutes, but I do see what you're saying too, because I'm sometimes fearful we're making our Christianity too temporal and not eternal. I think a lot of times we really don't want revival, and we don't want our nation to repent. We just want an ease of living and comfortableness, not to leave. And we're more concerned about that than we are about souls. And we've got to be about the souls and building the kingdom. So I don't disagree with you on that premise. And I think we as Americans can love our nation, pray for our nation, pray for the repentance of our nation, pray for it to be great and remain great. But it should never trump that we are, first and foremost, all evangelists. We're all, as believers, we have a greater commission than just seeing America saved, and that's seeing America saved. And
God is merciful, and because he's merciful, I believe we can appeal to his mercy and ask him to stay his hand maybe one more time, you know. But judgment first begins in the house of the Lord, Aaron. Mm-hmm. You know, it's not just revival, it's revive me, it's revive us, it's revive my church, you know, it's revive my family, and that's where I believe with it, until we get on our knees and experience the power and the love and the mercy of God ourselves, you know, why should we expect God to move any other way, you know? So,
yeah, if my people who are called by my name...
Yeah, and that was a promise to Israel, you know, and we'll apply that to America as if it's a word directly for us. There's principles in that promise, but that promise was made to Israel, national Israel.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, but there's principles there for sure.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. All right, Brother Waleed, thank you so much. We're out of time. Tell us how we can find you and more of your resources available.
Thank you. Yeah, you guys can follow for more teachings on evangelism, sharing the Bible, sharing the gospel, listen to some encouraging words. You can follow me at YouTube and Instagram, Waleed Zaru. Look for WALEED, Z like zebra, ARU. And you can always look at WaleedZaru.com. God bless you guys. Thank you, Aaron, for having me again, man. Always appreciate you and your spirit and the work you're doing there in Kentucky, man.
I appreciate you, brother. You have a blessed day, and we'll see you soon.
Lord willing, thank you.
Bye-bye. All right, bye-bye. All right, Jacob. You still in there?
Yeah.
You still in there?
I'm in here.
Hallelujah. Well, there's a lot of things said about prophets and stuff, and I know you love the prophetic, so what's your 30-second take?
I do believe that God is raising up the true prophets of this day, the ones that have been hidden. Even in Scripture, there was a lot of false prophets, but there is a lot of prophets that's not Baal, they need a Baal.
Mm-hmm.
So I believe God is calling forth the true ones to come out, because Jezebel's try to kill off the real ones. And so
I would love to have the conversation with some people one day. What is a prophet and what makes you a prophet? I would love to have that. I would love to dive into that some more. Just like, you know, we're more familiar with pastoring and teaching and evangelists.
Yeah.
And somewhat apostolic, but I'm not for sure we're having that conversation a lot about the prophetic and what is the difference. What is a prophet? What is a New Testament prophet? Like, what is that New Testament prophet? Because I have said this for a while, and I do agree that I think the Old Testament prophet, the New Testament prophet is radically different. I think what they are and what they do is different. That is an interesting thing that he was bringing up. I would love to have that conversation because at the end of the day, we should all want truth, and we should all want full manifestation of the fivefold order there. But we're over time. Any other things? Bye. See yous. Adios. Nothing.
Nothing.
All right. Nothing. All right. Well, we're going to get out of here. We love you guys. We'll be back tomorrow, 7 a.m. Central Time, here on Mornings of Box 2 Radio on the Box 2 Radio Network.